list of authors that are mainly my colleagues at ARS, and as well as Pepe Salas over at Colorado State University. And quite a few of these were out there in the field collecting infiltration measurements with me. And this also will, this work is really in the context of a modeling project where we're trying to understand and explain spatial variability over agricultural landscapes. But first, I just want to say that Professor Warwick is a person who I think we should and do obviously all respect because of his contributions and because of who he has been as a scientist and a real scholar. Last time I gave a talk, he sat and wrote down some notes and actually found out a mistake in a derivation I had made. But along with that, you know, he's a real gentleman, and he did that in a very nice way, and I appreciated that. And this has been reflected in all of your talks today. So I guess your next step is that you can be a gentleman and a scholar. So the outline today is, first I'll talk about, as a motivation, some spatial scaling of data that we've collected in rain-fed agricultural fields as evidence of a nested structure that display fractal behavior. Then I want to show you, as again some motivation, some theoretical simulations of scaling infiltration with runoff, run-on, and that was a great talk, Roy. I appreciated that. In our landscape, it's really dominantly Hortonian, but that run-on is an important effect that we want to consider. And then the bulk of the talk will be looking at some analysis of spatial information in these infiltration measurements that we took, and then brief synthesis. So all the new things, Art, will be at the end, the very last slide. So you can rest for a while. The spatial grain yield measurements are collected in dryland fields using a yield monitor. We have high resolution 5-meter DEM digital elevation model, so we can compute different terrain attributes and look at how those scale. I'll show you some surface measurements using TDR in the top 30 centimeters and look at how those scale, and then finally go to the issue of fractal geometry and spatial persistence that carries over into these infiltration measurements. Now, I've been told that for every equation slide, you lose half the audience. I think after yesterday's session, I realized that fraction is a little lower in this crowd. And the other aspect is that some of you actually get more and more excited with these equations. So I'm sorry, this is my only equation slide. But you know what a variogram is, I think. So this is the variogram in terms of the expectation of the squared difference in whatever variable we're looking at. I call that y. In a power law variogram, you can derive, that says that you would have a simple fractal, and you can derive a Hurst coefficient. So I'll be talking about this Hurst coefficient, which is just the exponent on that power law, half of that exponent. And if h is zero, then you have a pure nugget of variance. So you'll see in some of these that h is zero. If h is 0.5 or greater than 0.5, we say that it's persistent in terms of observations near each other tend to be more like each other, and less than 0.5, anti-persistent, they tend to be different from each other. Now this is, I don't want you to read this, this is for the television audience, but the point here is that when we're looking at non-uniform intervals, like in time series analysis, typically you would derive the Hurst coefficient by looking at the residual mass and then looking at what they call here the rescaled range. And that is a more robust method, but in what I'm doing is very sparse and irregular data, so this variogram model is, to my knowledge, the only way to do that. If somebody knows otherwise, you can correct me. The issues with it are that as you get to very long lags, you have fewer and fewer data pairs, and you have more uncertainty, essentially, in your model fit, and yet you tend to want to go out to the range of your data. So what I'll be talking about today has to do with how, as you change that maximum lag distance, how that may affect your estimate of your exponent on that power law. So here are some examples from grain yield data. You can just look in the upper left. This is the omnidirectional, or in otherwise a typical variogram looking in all directions. The other ones are at 45 degree angles to each other. And this just displays this type of power law behavior for the most part, and you see a little bit of periodicity in there. But rather than removing the trends, we really want to look at how the scaling continues. So the thing you'll notice about these is that they're not stationary. And then the bottom right graph is just on a log-log scale. you get a linear variogram on a log-log scale, and the slope of that line again relates to the Hurst coefficient, which I'll show. So we also collected soil water data in the top 30 centimeters using this apparatus, so we could do on-the-go measurements. This is a field, not the same field where we did infiltration, but just as an example, the white dots are points where we collected data, and they were arranged in this kind of pattern so we could develop variograms with all the lag distances. So these now are six different plots, where each plot is a different date within the same year, and there's a summer crop on this in this case, and you can see the change in the variograms. And particularly, you see a very nice power law behavior here that has quite a bit of structure out to long distances. When you look at a drier date, you see a lot of basically noise, but there is some at shorter ranges still that behavior. So we use this as a model to explain that, even though it's not perfect. And these are examples then from the crop yield and looking at a topographic wetness index derived from terrain, of the types of Hurst coefficients that we're seeing in that field, two different years, and somewhere around 0.2, which is less than 0.5. And the point of this slide is to show that there is some temporal stability in these, and that in some cases, at least, they look like the terrain, in other cases, not as much. But that this is kind of a context for where we're looking at. So now I'm shifting to a modeling study. It was done by Juan Meng at Colorado State University with Dr. Salas. And in this case, she generated spatial rainfall and soils KSAT using a multifractal model, and then simulated runoff run-on with a Hortonian overland flow model that has run-on for the interaction in order to explore the multifractal behavior of infiltration and runoff. So then I'll show you some visual patterns of that. So this is an example where each pair is a time snap, and on the left of each pair is the rainfall field, which is multifractal, and on the right is the simulated infiltration field. There are some channels in there that have different properties. That's what those little lines are. But the main point of this is you see that infiltration looks a lot like runoff or like rainfall early on, and then you see it transition until finally infiltration at 90 minutes looks a lot like KSAT. So there's a transition in the scaling of infiltration, which you might expect from a typical infiltration curve that's first rainfall limited and then becomes soil limited. And this is the power spectra of the infiltration that's bounded by the power spectra of the rainfall here and of the multi-scaling saturated hydraulic conductivity, just to show you the evolution in time of the spatial scaling that changes from being rainfall dominated to KSAT dominated. So all of this is kind of motivation for why we want to look at scaling of infiltration and soil properties in terms of looking at larger scale processes. And I wasn't able to pull up a good graph from that thesis of this, so I made a cartoon. But the upscaled infiltration, if you have a fractal scaling of soil hydraulic properties, leads to an upscaled infiltration. This is an infiltration curve at time, where increasing the Hurst coefficient will tend to do this. It will tend to decrease that. Or conversely, the reason is that you tend to increase runoff as you have more spatial persistence in the saturated hydraulic conductivity from point to point. So you can think of it as increasing runoff, which increases or decreases the average infiltration. So that's really the motivation for looking at the Hurst coefficient, with the assumption here that our variance and the mean are the same. So let me describe a little bit of the measurements that we took in a wheat fallow field in Colorado. We did all these measurements on bare soil, which was tilled prior to planting. These are silty loam soils that are fairly massive, uniform windblown silty sand material. We used 30 centimeter diameter rings with a Marriott device for a constant head, pre-wetted and drained overnight. So they were really wet before we even did the steady infiltration. Then we ponded them and waited till steady state, and I'll show you that. There are 150 locations that are clustered or nested because we expect that they will have some fractal behavior. So there's kind of a little, I guess you might say, a priori bias for this fractal behavior. So this is Colorado. This is our location within Colorado, not far from Fort Collins. And we have a field that's about, well, it's about 100 hectare. And I won't talk about all these things. We have various spatial measurements. But again, the emphasis today is infiltration. These were nested around some sites where we have hourly profiles of soil moisture automatically collected, as well as some TDR measurements. So these are the soil moisture sites in red. It falls within a kind of a catchment here that goes to a runoff flume. And this is the way we did our nested sampling. We did it for some plant variables as well. Today I'll just talk about infiltration, where at each site, which is kind of topographically distinct, we took a 30 by 30 meter area and randomly selected 3 10 by 10s. Within those, we randomly, on a 1 meter grid, selected 5 infiltration ring locations. So this is what it looks at like on a kind of a bird's eye view, and you can see that the clustering is very close. So we have a lot of measurements, but they're sparsely located in some ways. This is just evidence that we're at steady state, and I won't dwell on that due to time. So these are the steady state infiltration results, uncorrected for geometry of three-dimensional geometry. And this is just showing that you have some difference between sites. There's one site with low ones, but generally it's pretty noisy looking. When you develop a varigram, on the left you see the full cloud of all the data, over 800 meters, lag distances. The right is one of these 30 by 30 meter sites. And these are just box plots, a little different way of looking at it, that helped you see some of the density of the data as well. And then finally, this is your binned data to get a varigram with the Hurst coefficient at the field scale and at the plot scale. So first we'll look at the plot scale, the Hurst coefficient for these different sites, 10 different sites. And the first thing you'll notice is that some of them are zero, which says that they're just nugget, they're all noise. The others, though, do display some structure. And if we take the average of those, it's about 0.27. If we take the average over all sites, it's 0.16. Which, you remember, those previous graphs were about 0.2, so it's somewhere in that range that we had seen previously. But the question is some of this due to sparseness of the data? So I want to quickly go through some digital elevation model results where we have data everywhere. And so this is SCA's specific contributing area. We'll look at the natural log of that and a wetness index, which is derived from that and the slope. And so these are varigrams of the contributing area on the left and the wetness index on the right with different maximum lags. This is 30, and you can see the power law fits it quite well at this range. And this is out to 120 and then 300 meters, where you start to see some periodicity due to the landscape. So I want to show you now in the next plots kind of an evolution of these with how the varigram grows. So the variance is growing. But also the thing that you'll see changing is the Hurst coefficient here and the maximum lag. So you can just watch one of these if you like, or watch both of them. So you can see that the Hurst coefficient grows in some cases a little bit, but then it also is decreasing, especially for the wetness index, as we increase our lag distance and we get a little more noise. So looking at our infiltration data, which is the more sparse data, this is the result in terms of Hurst coefficient versus maximum lag. And we see really an incredibly broad range. And I scratched my head at this and wondered what to do with it. But there's something going on up to about 200 meters. And I thought, well, maybe that's just the sparseness of these nested plots. So let's look at all the terrain data, which is more dense, and do we see the same thing? And this is my last figure, which is a little busy, but what we have here are Hurst coefficients versus the maximum lag for all these varigrams. So each point is the result of one varigram. And this is with slope is the topographic index here with the sparse data. So the first row is the sparse data, and the second row is from a digital elevation model where we have data every 5 meters. And with slope and contributing area, we don't see the same behavior that we did with the sparse data for infiltration. There are two sets, the blue points are at each point, and the red ones are if we average infiltration over a 5-meter grid, so they're very similar. The wetness index, though, we do see that decrease, and we see that in the field scale. So there's something real going about on with that decrease above 200 meters, and that peak is something that reflects that increase as we go from plot to plot. So there's steady infiltration that displays fractal behavior, although not as nicely as some of the other variables I showed. The apparent Hurst coefficients varied with domain size, with maximum value of about 0.8 at about 200 meters. And then changes in this estimated Hurst coefficient for infiltration are most similar to the topographic wetness index, which decreased with the maximum lag. And all of this is meant to feed into how do we use this to estimate field scale parameters for modeling. So I hope you could see the forest for the trees.
Okay, thank you, Tim, very much.